Good morning, everyone. Lovely to see you here. I'd just like to pray first. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word. There is so much in your word, Lord, for us to learn from. So we pray that you will open our hearts and our minds to hear what you have to say to us today. I pray that you will instruct my words, that they will be your words. And we thank you, Father, for your never-ending love for us. Amen. So, only one thing is needed. This short gospel passage, four verses, short, but it packs a punch. As we have seen so often, God's word has both economy and power. So I don't think because it's short, it doesn't mean a lot, because it does. And this is the first of three scenes concerning Martha and Mary that we meet in the Gospels, though this particular one occurs only in Luke. And it is a scene of hospitality, a woman and her sister opening their home to Jesus, and Lazarus was their brother. And Jesus is at this time travelling with his disciples. And so I think we realise in the passage that she knows him, he knows her, he knows this home, and has been welcomed there before. And so she prepares, she sees Jesus coming and prepares to provide for him and his disciples, probably with food and drink and probably accommodation. And hospitality was exceedingly important in the biblical world. There were many travellers, both strangers and friends, who might seek a place of rest and provision. And there was an expectation that the people in the towns would be hospitable. Jesus himself places great importance on this act of kindness. And only just a chapter before, we hear about Jesus sending out the 72 disciples, and he tells them to go into the towns and seek homes where they'll be welcomed, and not to take anything with them. And also, immediately preceding this introduction to Martha and Mary, we have the parable of the Good Samaritan. And that also is, in a sense, about hospitality, about caring for others, providing for others' needs. So Jesus knew this home, as he'd been here many times, and it is a place where he can relax. And after his arrival, Martha busies herself with the tasks of serving the guests, you know, as you would want to, probably preparing a meal. And Jesus, obviously, continues his teaching, for we learn that Mary, Martha's sister, sits at Jesus' feet, listening to his words. She seems to assume the posture of a student, learning at the feet of a rabbi, a role traditionally reserved for men. Martha, however, was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made, and she becomes frustrated with the fact that Mary is not helping her. And I'm sure it's a scene we've probably all encountered, a role that she would have been expected to take. So Martha loses her focus somewhat, and probably feeling self-pity, approaches Jesus in an exchange that I found quite extraordinary. I don't know about you, the words that come from her mouth, because of its degree of familiarity and its sharpness. She probably wanted to listen to Jesus herself, but was pulled away by her sense of her duties, and her fretting has caused her to become angry with Mary, and she doesn't even use her name when she speaks to Jesus, for being so selfish. And angry with Jesus for not caring for her and letting this go on. She rebukes the one for whom all these preparations are being made. So I can only ask what's happened to the hospitality. So I'm interested to know with whom you identify here. Is Martha justified in her complaint? And would you expect Jesus to do as she asks? She wants Jesus to tell Mary to get up and come and help her. And I think many people would. Martha is, after all, trying to be hospitable and to have many things ready for her special guests. We do not know, however, what tasks Martha is attending to, whether or not Mary did help her out before Jesus arrived, nor how much notice of his visit there was. And Jesus' response, as we've often seen, is the reverse of what we might expect. And he chides Martha for fussing so much. And then he says that Mary is doing the better thing. I wonder how that was received. So let's look, however, at his approach to Martha in more detail. He is, in fact, very gentle and warm when he says, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and upset or distracted," different translations, "about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." So I guess this is similar to the way we might approach a child or a good friend who is stressed and worrying about something, and we're trying to comfort or soothe them a little. The repetition of her name is familiar and affectionate, almost like saying, "There, there, please don't fuss so much. There's no need. Things are simpler than you may think." And I think we do. For me, it was a comforting approach, trying to soothe her. So is Jesus really criticizing Martha for serving? The posture and attitude of serving others was important to Jesus. He wants his disciples to serve one another and others. And we've just had the story of the Good Samaritan, after which he said, "Go and do likewise." So from Jesus' response, we can gather that it's not the serving that is the problem, but rather Martha's attitude. The wanting to do too many things when only a few are needed, indeed only, really only one to be truly hospitable. It is the worry and the distraction, being pulled and dragged in different directions, not being present for your guest, that he is trying to teach Martha about. The most important aspect of hospitality can be said to be our gracious attention to the guest. How often do we, in everyday life, invite guests, greet them, and then run off into the kitchen? And this, not just women, men do this as well, to attend to the preparations, focusing more on the urgent than the essential, leaving another family member perhaps to tend to the guests, but not being present yourself. And it's very human and natural. That's what we do. So please note, I'm not saying that this is wrong either. But if Jesus were your guest, would you do this? Jesus is the most important guest Martha will ever have. But what she doesn't realise is that he is actually also her host, her provider of every gift that she will need for this life and the next. We must note also that Jesus does not say that Martha is doing a bad thing and Mary a good thing. He says that Mary has chosen, and we'll come back to that word, the better thing. So what is this one better thing? Mary is sitting at Jesus' feet with the men, receiving his gracious presence, listening to his words, knowing that she's valued, not just for what she does and how well she does it, but for who she is as a child of God. And Mary seems to know this instinctively. There's quite a contrast between the two. Remember the time which occurs after this encounter. After Jesus raises Lazarus, their brother, from the dead, and he is invited to their home for a dinner given in his honour. And we learn Martha served. They are the words in the scripture. Martha served. And she is honouring Jesus in doing that. But Mary again sits at his feet and anoints him and anoints his feet with oil, that beautiful, pure nard, then wipes them with her hair. And we learn of that in John chapter 11. Mary's act was one of humility, washing feet like a servant would, but also one of love, worship, and devotion. a very extravagant gesture beyond normal hospitality. It was, in fact, very personal and intimate. It also, of course, anticipates Jesus' later action of washing his disciples' feet and wiping them with the towel about his waist, teaching them about having a servant heart and loving one another. Mary was criticised at that time for her extravagance, but again, Jesus came to her defence because she is honouring him while she has him. And she is indeed showing that the act of serving is also important. And her act of serving then showed great devotion. And at that time, there were only 6 days to his death. Not that she knew that exactly. So how does this apply to us now? More than ever, it seems that we have busy lives which can be filled with anxiety, distraction, and worry, being pulled in different directions. And often our busyness has noble intentions, as Martha's did. We want to serve others, meet needs, provide for our families, and serve the Lord. Where would the church be without such faithful workers who perform tasks of hospitality and service to make the church a welcoming and well-functioning community? And this church is an absolute beautiful example of that. Where would the world be without the millions of people who perform altruistic voluntary work for the good of others? So it's really the question of priorities that arises. Do we leave enough time to be still in the presence of the Lord and hear his word? Is Martha, in this scene, feeling love and joy in her service or resentment? Martha is active while Mary is contemplative, and both listening and doing are vital to Christian life. Are we being asked to choose between being a worker like Martha or a worshipper like Mary? If we do, we miss the point. We mustn't be overly critical of Martha. The Good Samaritan story just before embodies love for our neighbour, service of others, and Mary embodies love for God. Both break the social customs and norms of their culture, the Samaritan and the woman, being models for something good, and they are both images of the kingdom which Jesus brings. Both are needed to complete the discipleship Jesus calls for, to hear God's word and to do it. And remember James. In chapter 1, he says, "Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says." And in chapter 2, "Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by my deeds." So the two are just locked together. The better, the necessary part is listening to God's word. Why? Well, we need to be directed by our knowledge and understanding of the word, which provides us with God's wisdom, which we need for all of life's decisions and direction. Sitting at Jesus' feet must be a priority. It is important. So how do we do that today? We do that by spending time in God's word and in prayer, in worship and relationship with other Christians. This is how we meet with the Lord and commune with him. The Bible is our instruction manual for life and beyond. 2 Peter says, "His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness." And in 2 Timothy, "But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you have learned it." This is Paul talking. "And how from infancy you have known the holy scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work." I love the way it all fits together. He really does bring it together for us many, many times. So it's about finding balance in our lives and our priorities. What we need to prioritise is trying to do this better, necessary thing more often. To be still and know the Lord. To read the instruction manual before we try to fix what is broken or build something new. The Women's Connect group is going on retreat together next week, and I know we're all looking forward to this quiet time of getting to know the Lord and each other better. A beautiful thing that Jesus did was that he took time to evangelise and teach women, showing the value he put on every person. So it is fitting that we return the compliment and invite our host to be a permanent guest in our hearts and minds. Surely each of us would be at our best if we were to imitate Mary in our worship and Martha in our work and to achieve balance in both. If you've listened to the Lord first and then you're guided in how to behave, how to serve, how to work, and then the work has much more power. In conclusion, let's note that Mary chose to sit at Jesus' feet. It didn't happen accidentally. If we make that same choice today and do it consistently, not letting the good things we do crowd out the best thing we can do, it's not saying we don't do the good things, we do them. But remember, we need to sit at the feet of the Lord. And we do that in his word. So, if we do that, don't let the good things crowd out the best thing we can do, the urgent crowd out the important, then it shall not be taken away from us. And we will grow in our relationship with God and with others. I'd just like to close in prayer. Father, when we look at our own lives, we're often too busy to just listen to you. We often feel we have to be doing something to serve you, and we have trouble sitting still before you. Please forgive us for our restlessness and for putting our agenda before yours. Help us to listen with unclogged ears and a focused and attentive mind to what you want to teach us today. Help us to get your priorities right and to lead balanced lives where we worship first and then serve. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.